everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, are we going to get any real rain here this winter?
Well, they're predicting. Did you blink yesterday afternoon? Because if you did, you missed it.
Well, oh, I missed that puddle.
We had some yesterday afternoon. We're supposed to get some more Saturday evening and into early next week.
Well,
but they said that before, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And it won't be enough to break what we have is really a terrible drought here in the Southwest. We welcome everybody to the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, the 22nd of January, 2020. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The station is KVOI. We have worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're in week three of the beginning of our 11th year doing our radio program. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, that Dylan Smith's organization, had Dylan on the program Wednesday, congratulated him. That organization, that online news service, is now starting its 12th year. They're celebrating this week their 11th anniversary. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, is with us in studio. Dan, thanks for your support. 10 full years here on the radio, and a bunch of years before that with me on our Friday roundtable on television. Good to have you back with me in studio.
Thank you, Bill.
The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Thank you, Jim Ninsel, and your team. Dan Shear is with me in studio. Dan, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and he's also the editorial director for two dozen newspapers here in the West, all owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communication. With us on our live line is Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry was granted a four-year contract extension on Tuesday by a 4-1 vote of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Mr. Huckleberry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Were you happy with the deal, the four-year deal? I know it's a $10,000 pay cut, but generally, were you happy with what came out of this?
Yeah, I think the contract that was offered by the board was fair, and I intend to accept it, provided they ratify it at the next meeting.
Chuck, they indicated that a lot of employees have brought up that, frankly, they have some problems with you. And I know the person at the top always tends to take the heat. But do you plan to address any of those concerns?
Well, I think they would be easily addressed if they weren't, we'll say, anonymous.
Sure.
And so it's easy to hide behind anonymity, but absolutely, it's something that, you know, we have... Part of our human resources department has a particular process that really tries to address employee issues. And so, absolutely, if we know what they are, we'll be happy to address them.
There were other concerns, I think, brought up about evaluations, that you were not, that you basically got a contract and were allowed to do what you wanted to do for 4 years. And I understand that, you know, you don't run the place. You've got at least five bosses there. Is there going to be a system put in place where you're going to have evaluations, and would you do that publicly, or would you want that done behind closed doors?
It's fine either way the board would like to do it. It would be fine with me if it's public, or if they want to do it behind closed doors. That's their call. But I'm perfectly fine with an open public evaluation process. I think what everybody forgets is my contract has I'm an at-will employee. And so what that means is that any given day, three members of the board decide that my services are no longer needed. That's it. So I kind of view the fact that I believe I get evaluated about every day. Obviously, get evaluated at every board meeting. And I get evaluated in the performance of the budget and all the other policy programs they direct that I implement for them.
Well, I know that this contract's important, obviously, to you and employees and a lot of other people in town. But I'll tell you what, no offense, Chuck, but what's more important right now to the people of Pima County, and Dan's going to second this because he's never had such response of questions to the folks in Green Valley. We had Dr. Christ on the program yesterday saying that basically she told our listeners there are no appointments, Chuck Huckleberry, for anyone in the state of Arizona right now to get a shot. There is such frustration here. Who needs to own this, Chuck?
Well, I think the state is the agency that's in charge. They're directing its implementation either in some cases directly by the state, or they're directing the various health departments throughout the state that's formed in each county. And so it's really the public health organization of each county that, needs to take the lead. And it's a local application. The state should be in a supporting role. We're finding that role elusive to find at this point in time. But I think it's also important to remember that we're into this vaccination phase of the pandemic, and we've only been in that phase for a larger portion of the population for about a week. So you're always going to have issues when you implement something as large as this and as unusual as this. Those bumps in the road are going to smooth out as we get into this process. And I think you have to remember that our goal when we started to set up our own vaccination centers was to have more vaccination capacity at the local level than we had vaccine. Because the worst thing that could happen is that if we have a sufficient supply of vaccine, but don't have the capacity to put it in arms. We're ramping up to that vaccine capacity very quickly, it's occurring almost on a daily basis. We have 5 of 6 regional centers up and running, and they're probably vaccinating at least 5,000 a day, and that will ramp up in the next couple of weeks to probably 10,000 a day at maximum capacity. When we bring on a 6th facility, it'll go up to 15,000. And what's not been well understood is that if you go back and people read our accelerated vaccination plan, we always had these fixed sites and then we had distributed sites. We're just now getting to the distributed sites since the fixed sites are up and running. And in those distributed sites is where we address areas, like Green Valley, like the rural communities, like Ajo, like Aravaca, Lukeville. And then the semi-urban areas on the fringe. So it's getting there. We wish we had, this is just communication could be better, coordination could be better, funding could be better, but we're doing as much as we can to, move into this phase of the pandemic, which is really the vaccination phase, which is frankly the most important.
Let me, before I go, I want to quickly follow up, Chuck, before I throw this back over to Dan. Looking down the road, and we're keeping our fingers crossed, we're praying that the one-shot vaccine from Johnson & Johnson will get a fast approval, the results of their testing expected next week. If that goes into the mix, and we're talking about a lot of vaccine, is it conceivable that the over 65 and all of the groups, I think it's about, would be about 400,000 people out of our population of 1.1 million, is it conceivable by May 1st everybody could get a shot?
I think it's conceivable because I think when you add in our fixed sites at 15,000 a day, and then if you think of right now, we're looking at 17 to 20 distributed sites, and if each of them do, a couple hundred a day, and these are smaller sites, smaller clinics, it's easy, it's achievable that we could get to 20,000 vaccinations a day, and so you just do the math, and you can see we can work through the population fairly quickly. Our accelerated plan says that in one accelerated option, we could probably get through the entire population by early summer.
Chuck, I appreciate the access and the responsiveness by the county to the media request. We've had great back and forth with them. I know by far the biggest issue is a lack of vaccine, but the next biggest issue, particularly for some of these semi-urban and rural communities, is how to get into the queue to get a shot. I had about an hour ago a county official describe to me how somebody from Green Valley who wants to get a shot in Green Valley would need to register, and it is one of the most convoluted, difficult systems. It's going to be impossible. And it simply isn't going to work for somebody who is 75 plus, vaguely familiar with computers, and it's not going to be able to get it done. It's just not going to work. Is there any way we can make an easier registration system for people who cannot go up to Tucson for the shots?
And the answer, Dan, is yes. And when I talked about these distributed sites, if you look at the healthcare clinics in Green Valley, a lot of them are operated by United Community Healthcare. We've allocated vaccine to each of those sites. If you look at the plus 75 population in Green Valley, it's about 8,900. About two-thirds of those are clients of the United Community Healthcare. And I believe as we put vaccine in their hands, they're starting to reach out to their clients to get them in, to get vaccinated, and they're going to handle the registration process for those. We also know, and again, this is part of the communication issue that we have, is I think just yesterday we were notified by the state that, you know, they're going to start putting vaccine in a number of retail pharmacies around the state. They've chosen six in Pima County, and one of those is the Safeway's Albertsons at 260 West Continental. We don't know how much vaccine they're going to provide these sites because they don't communicate that to us. But again, that registration process will be handled by that particular facility, that pharmacy within that Safeway and Albertsons. So I think, and then on top of that, we're setting up and have set up, and it's operated last weekend. It's going to operate the whole week. It's going to operate this weekend, a call center. Because we know that if you think of the plus 75 individuals in Green Valley, like I said before, about 8,900 of them, we have 92,000 of those in Pima County. And so a lot of them are going to be in the same position with regard to access and registration as individuals in Green Valley. So we're setting up a call center to try and assist them, try and get them, you know, registered by phone so that we can get them vaccinated. And as I've said before, and you know, our first priority is plus 75 individuals because they're the most susceptible. They typically get the sickest and require either hospitalization, ICU, or in the worst outcome, death. And so our priority is to get them vaccinated. At the same time, we're working way through what they call the protected class, and as well as the teachers and child care workers. And that, those categories were established by the state, so we're treating all them the same. So I think the long answer is, yeah, we recognize the issues and are trying to, you know, move into a direction that makes it much easier for those individuals 75 and plus, and we're just now getting to activate our distributed system. As that activates, it's going to be a lot easier. I think the key, absolute key to all of this is whether we can secure an adequate vaccine supply.
Right. And so to not throw our people in Green Valley and others in the same situation into this black hole of this online registration system that is out there, is the best option at this point to tell them to use the call center. It's being beefed up, and then they actually can steer them toward vaccines that are going on in our area.
Absolutely. Yes. And that is the entire purpose of the call center, and you know, it started with about eight individuals, and the wait line was over an hour, and we're adding hopefully 25 more beginning next week. And so again, as this, if it works the kinks out of the process, we'll begin to be a lot more responsive to everyone in the process.
Let's give the number. Why don't we do that right now? That's the 222 number?
That's the 222 number. And one of the things that I've not memorized and don't have in front of me. So we can, if you go to our website, it's on there.
It's 222-0119. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay. Correct. I had a quick question. We need to take a break, but you mentioned Safeway. So does someone walk into Safeway and then if they had vaccine, you would fill out some paperwork there, kind of like when you get a flu shot? Is that kind of what your understanding would be?
Bill, that's kind of our understanding, but we don't know. Again, this is this mystery of, you know, just receiving this information from the state yesterday. You know, we would assume they're going to walk in and they'll have a registration process in that pharmacy, but I don't know.
I mean, that, ultimately, that would be a way to go. If you could just do it like a flu shot, I could go over after the show today. I could stop at CVS or I could stop at Walgreens, and I would say, I want my shot, and you would fill the paperwork out. And maybe, hopefully, we will get to that day if we get enough vaccine. Is that kind of what we're going here?
I think that's the ideal solution. We can't tell you that. We think that's exactly the model they'll use, but cannot confirm it. We also know that it's probably likely that even in the Safeway pharmacy, they probably won't have more than a couple hundred vaccines.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
All right. Well, I can tell you, Chuck Huckleberry and Dan Scheer, about a place you can walk in right now and get some wonderful, you can get a great lunch and you can get some real comfort food, I'll tell you, like a Danish Kringle or one of the Buckmaster blueberry muffins with the giant top. Those would certainly make your day. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's. Open right now for lunch. You could do breakfast still. They'll do breakfast for you all day. They open at 6:30 in the morning, and their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Call ahead if you'd like your bakery goods ready. They do have limited in bakery dining, and outside there's plenty of room to distance out on the patio, and of course you wear your mask. They have some excellent sanitation going on at Mona's Danish Bakery. We've got a million more questions about vaccine for Chuck Huckleberry. You'll stick around, as will Dan Scheer. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village studio guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On our live line and on the live line is Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Dan Scheer is with me in studio from the Green Valley News. And Dan, I think that for your readers, the phone line is going to be the way to go.
Absolutely, it is going to be, and we'll explain the other stuff to them, but that's the way to go, so beefing it up is a great idea. That's what they need.
Is it operating, Mr. Huckleberry, are you trying to extend the hours? I know you've got more people. I think it's almost 50 people answering phones. What's the latest on that?
Yes, Bill, the hours are going to be expanded from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and if necessary, they'll go longer than that. We might start talking about getting them earlier in the morning and extending them to 10 p.m.
And again, the number is 222-0119. Here's Dan Scheer.
On January 11th, the county signed a $3.5 million contract with a group called Premier out of Hawaii. They're supposed to be administering shots and setting up places where people can get vaccinations. Who are they? When are they going to be in the area? How are they going to work with local organizations that are already down the road already? And what are we going to get from them?
What you're going to get is the what we call personnel support that's necessary to stand up and support these vaccination centers. One of the concepts is a lot of these vaccination centers are operating 7 days a week, and their hours are, you know, I would say, not as expansive as they could be because of the manpower shortages dealing with what we call those who can give the shots, and that means qualified nurses, EMTs, and they have certain, you know, standards that they have to maintain. And so we're going to supplement the professional staff with this particular contract, as well as even the staff who can provide what we call a logistical support or the administrative support and even the registration support at a number of sites. So, again, their contract was just awarded, and I think they've been given some notice, and we've asked them to develop some plans, and they're probably due, what I would say, later, we're already at Friday, but early next week.
So are they going to be the point person on the ground in these urban communities or suburban communities?
Not really. The point people right now are either the retail pharmacies that the state has just announced, or they're the what we call health centers that are actively working within the community or can be positioned in the community to provide clinical services associated with administering the vaccine and even providing registration services. For example, in Green Valley, if the member in Green Valley is a client of United Community Healthcare, I assume that they will do the registration and as well as the clinical part of the vaccination process.
Will we have 24/7 operation like the two centers in Phoenix?
Well, if we can get the vaccine, yes. And you know, one of the difficulties we're having is those two centers are set up by the state, we've had to set our own centers up. And we're just now going to submit a plan to the state and funding, and the allocated funding for vaccination to Pima County is a little over $7 million. Our estimated cost of actually operating the larger system that we've talked about, which is the fixed sites and the distributed sites, runs between a minimum of 12 and probably closer to $16 million. So there's no discussion about, you know, what the gap in funding is for that, as well as the gap in funding for testing. And I think, you know, that's another important factor. Testing has accelerated dramatically in just simply the last 4 weeks. We used to do about 1,000 tests a day. We're now doing 3,000 tests a day, and the county's paying for all of those. And so what that means in the cost factor is about every week we are expending another $2.5 million in testing, of which we do not have any assurances at this point that we're going to get reimbursed for. We've gone through the original $87.1 million allocation from the CARES Act Treasury distribution, and so we're operating on the county budget right now. And the state was allocated $416 million in testing. We ask about it. We've requested some information about it. Don't have any idea how that's going to be distributed. They were allocated $66 million in vaccination, and their allocation to Pima was $7 million. If it was just allocated on the basis of population, it'd be closer to $11 million. And we have a higher percentage of plus 65 in our community than about nine other counties. And so if you then think about the accelerated need to get vaccine into people's arms that are plus 75 or even plus 65, that's an additional cost, and that's not accounted for in this allocation. So there's all sorts of questions that remain unanswered, but I think you also remember we're in the first week of this response.
Back to Premier real quick. Several groups in rural areas such as Green Valley have already been planning for local vaccination sites. Are they now to just wait for Premier to contact them? What is their role now?
Well, I think, Dan, one of the problems is we, you know, don't know what sites they've been planning. I know there's been a lot of discussion about Green Valley Council, and that's all fine. But a lot of that was done and, you know, considering at the time we were setting up the six regional fixed sites. And so obviously we're going to have to catch up with everybody and see if those sites are acceptable. There's certain licensing and approval requirements, and if they become necessary, you know, we'll use them. At this point, we haven't explored those optional additional sites. We're, again, trying to set up these distributed sites where we know they will work and distribute vaccines to where we know those vaccines will actually be used by the clinicians and used in accordance with the requirements and not go to waste.
So then at this point, they're just waiting for Premier to come in and say, okay, here's how we're going to do it and where we're going to do it.
We're waiting on Premier's plan, and hopefully it'll be in next week. And I can't tell you it's going to talk about additional sites. It may be talking about beefing up the sites that are already there. There's, you know, if you look at United Community Healthcare and the Safeway site, there are seven sites now in Green Valley. So it's a matter of basically beefing up maybe those sites and then thinking if there's some other larger sites available if they like. You know, again, anybody who's 65 or 75 now or gets priority in any of our sites.
It sounds like financially this is a huge hit on Pima County. Right now you say, I wanted to circle back to that, this is a moving target as far as the money picture.
It is. We've estimated that to continue the same pace that we're at now with our public health agency will cost an additional $55 million, of which it's not budgeted. And so that's a potential huge hole or huge hit on our budget. And I think we're hopeful that we'll get largely most of that back from the second CARES Act and what might be coming into the future. But again, there's no assurances, there's no models, there's no ability to distribute the money. The first CARES Act was distributed directly to some of the larger population centers, and that's how we got the $87.1 million. The second CARES Act money has been distributed to the state. And so the question is, well, how much of what's been distributed to the state will come down to the county public health agencies who are actually doing the work? And those answers have not been, we've not gotten any answers to those questions.
Well, maybe you can give us an answer to this. Have we plateaued? The state health director, Dr. Chris, said, yes, we have. The indication with cases and hospitalizations in Arizona has apparently hit a plateau. She told us that on the air yesterday. What about Pima County?
Plateau, and the term plateau is relative. And I think, you know, you got to be very careful on how you use that word plateau. Just think of our history. If you go back, you know, this whole episode with the pandemic started in March.
St. Patrick's Day, March 17th is the date I use.
Total cases in March were 153. Total in April, 1,024. Skip to June, we're at 5,600. Go to August, we're at 4,700. And we thought we were doing pretty good. Go to September, we're at 4,300. Gee, we're getting better. We're happy. October, we're at 2,900, and we thought maybe we're over the hump. Then comes November, 11,000. December, 29,000. And as of today in January, we're at 25,000. With 8 days left to go in the month.
How about hospitalizations? Are they looking better?
The only good news in this is that the hospital capacity is improving. For the very first time, we can talk about intensive care bed capacity in the 3 and 4% range as opposed to zero. And so, you know, that's part of the good news. And that is the primary reason we're targeting the plus 75 for the vaccination, because those are the ones most likely to end up in the hospital and most likely to end up in the intensive care unit.
Dan?
When we get more vaccines down here, we're going to need more help. Is there any talk about getting retired nurses, maybe temporary recertification just to give vaccinations, or do we not think that's really going to be an issue?
No, I think we want that. We have a medical reserve corps, and we're directing all of those folks who are retired nurses or anyone else to that medical reserve corps to get certified so we can call on them. And we've had a great response from the community with regard to volunteers. And so that's been very heartening that not only to volunteer to, you know, give shots if they're qualified, but to direct traffic, to assist in registration, to be greeters, do the things that's necessary, observe people, because everyone who gets a vaccination needs to be observed for 15 minutes for adverse reaction. And so we've had just a super response from the volunteers in the community, and I think that includes Green Valley.
Are we going to know a lot more in a week or two about the vaccine supply in Pima County?
I hope so. You know, it's kind of a black box from our perspective. Is, you know, we get told we're going to get a shipment and it'll be this, and it shows up. Sometimes it doesn't show up. Sometimes it shows up at half of what it was. And so we would like, as things begin to normalize, get a lot more transparency on vaccine availability and distribution. There's some big arguments going on up in Phoenix about whose supply is it coming out of that operating the two, you know, 24-hour centers that the state set up. Is it Maricopa's? Is this the state's? Is it off the top? So there's even arguments up there about vaccine distribution.
Well, and that really is the question. Where is the bottleneck? Is it on the federal level? Is it on the state level? We just don't, are we not manufacturing enough? Is it just not getting to us? I mean, what has anybody, who in the county is in charge with banging on the door of the state and saying, give us more?
Well, we've, our chair of the board has sent a letter to the governor probably about 10 days ago talking about, you know, we need more financial support and more support. The four border counties. They actually wrote a letter to the governor talking about when you think of considering your distribution to the border counties, just remember there's a lot of federal agents that are located in these counties, and those should, in fact, be included in this distribution in an additive way, not just simply part of the residential, you know, distribution to a county. So I think, you know, what do we know? What we know, at least what I know, is what I hear walking on the treadmill at 6 o'clock in the morning from CNN, where everyone talks about at the federal level, we might be on the verge of seeing a significant increase because production is finally ramping up with regard to Pfizer and finally ramping up with Moderna, and maybe we can even get the AstraZeneca vaccine approved, and then Johnson & Johnson is around the corner. So maybe this will loosen up, but still, at this point, it's still pretty tight. We have at least, we have probably no more than a week's supply of vaccine at the current rate we're vaccinating, and we're not at peak capacity. We're in the 5,000 a day range, but when I get into the 10,000 day range, I've now reduced my, you know, my stock that's in reserve to out to about 3 days. So that's a problem.
Very quickly, how are the county's contact tracing efforts going?
I think pretty good. The issue is they're probably pretty much overwhelmed. You know, you can do contact tracing when you have 5,000 cases or 6,000 cases, but when you've got, in our case, we're on track in January to hit probably 35,000 cases, it gets more difficult. But it's telling us what we know is that a lot of the infections come from small group gatherings and not, you know, observing the standard protocols with regard to minimizing the possibility of infection.
We've done pretty much from a legal point of view, the county's curfew was they put a hold on that for the 10 o'clock curfew. But you're appealing it, I understand. But there's not a lot that can be done at this point unless the state makes a change. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're kind of, you know, the issue is that there's Supreme Court case law that says the counties have a lot of authority in public health. Well, obviously, the Superior Court ruling is a lower court. We believe firmly that it's wrong, and we will appeal it. The problem is, how long does it take to appeal and get a decision? And if you get a positive decision out of the Court of Appeals, the other side can, you know, appeal that, and we can go to the Supreme Court. So, it, you know, that whole process takes years. So we'll be long past the pandemic.
All right, Dan, any final comment for Mr. Huckleberry?
So what's working best in all of this?
I think what's working is that is actually working and getting better. And I think all we ask is for people to be patient. You know, this is a pandemic that has befallen the community. And the last time it happened was 100 years ago. And it's getting, you know, better. The medical response is getting better. And we just need to, you know, be patient and get through the vaccination process and to make sure that in that vaccination process, people continue to practice the same, we'll say, prevention strategies after they get vaccinated for probably at least, my guess is the next 6 months. Because we can't relax until we have achieved this magical word that the public health officials always use called herd immunity. And that means that we have probably 70-80% of the population either been infected and through it or have been vaccinated.
Ed, one further, you brought up Safeway, and I think you mentioned where that one, I think it was down in your area, Dan, that Mr. Huckleberry, what was the location?
Safeway on Continental Road.
Safeway, and they apparently, from what you hear, Mr. Huckleberry, they have some vaccine. I mean, people may be running over there right now.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
That there's not been very good communication, and so We just need to improve that. And again, we told, and then the only reason we found out that the Safeway or whoever it was has vaccine is they call us and tell us how many doses they have.
Right.
I just lost my board operator. Tom has left has left the room. He is headed for Safeway.
Yep.
One would think the state would coordinate that a little better and let us know and provide, you know. The other problem is the people in Green Valley, there's a few folks in assisted living or long-term care, and that's being handled by the state, and we have no window into that operation. You just know it's being handled by CVS and Walgreens, and we can't tell you where they've been or what they've done or how many doses they've given.
So many questions. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Chuck
Dan, thank you as well.
Pima County Administrator with us. We're going to take a break right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'll be back with a few comments with Dan Scheer before we have our weekend watch. Back right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. A very busy Friday focus interview today with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News, and we spent the bulk of the time talking about the vaccine. But for those just tuning in, we did ask Mr. Huckleberry about his contract, the four-year extension, and basically you said he serves, he's evaluated day-to-day, Dan Scheer.
Yeah, he is. And it's true. If you've ever seen the call to the public, he just sits there and takes it because that's what you have to do. And so he is evaluated in a sense day to day. But I think people want something a little more formal and maybe constructive criticism that actually brings about some change. Because if you do have a lot of people who are complaining about maybe his leadership style or whatnot, you should listen to them. And he said, well, you know, it's hard to address anonymous complaints, but it's also hard to go public when you feel that there might be some retaliation or pushback or whatever. It's hard to go against the boss publicly. And so if this is a real issue, and I know they want to get to the bottom of it, then maybe one way to do it is to set up some sort of a better way to be able to get to the heart of the issues here. But it sounds like he's interested in doing that. I really hope he is.
Now, on the vaccine at front, it sounds like they are hoping to get a retail environment with Safeway on board. I know you've got a reporter working this right now because we did say, and just Mr. Huckleberry announced, that a Safeway in your area, Dan, apparently has or had vaccine.
And again, that's coming directly from the state, so it's really not a county question. And the reporter has, you know, called up Safeway, and the first thing you hear is, we are not returning phone calls about the vaccine. So our question is, well, then how are you registering people? How are you doling them out? And how many do you have? And I'm sure, you know, they don't have much, you know, maybe a couple hundred, and they're going to be swarmed. But what is the plan for Safeway? If you are going to be one of the key locations in our area giving these out, what's the plan?
John is on the live line. John, real quick, I've got 2 minutes total. What's your question?
Okay, getting away from the COVID vaccine, I was going to ask about the Cy Shore editorial in the Daily Star about ranked choice voting and other electoral reforms. I was wondering if I can get your feedback on that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was about the Cy Shore, about election reforms. Dan, did you happen to see the Cy Shore editorial in the Star?
No, I did not see that. But if we could talk very briefly about elections, say that the county is going to be looking at redrawing the districts of its supervisors. And I know this is a little off topic, but this is a very big deal. Sarita is right now in parts of Sarita are in three different districts. And this is the 1 year where you can kind of correct that and put them all in one supervisor district, and then your state legislative boundaries are going to be redrawn, then of course Congress. So this is a big deal to be paying attention because you live with it for the next 10 years.
And we just booked for our Friday roundtable, and I think you're going to be with me, this will be in February, J.D. Mesnard, the senator who is pushing this bill that Republicans really seem to like about election reform, trying to answer some of these questions that still some of them have, that the election was stolen.
Right, and there's no problem addressing reforms, and I think that a lot of the good talk was lost in the threats or the accusations that it was a fraudulent election and that Joe Biden shouldn't be in there, et cetera, et cetera. So, but you know what? There probably are some legitimate things that should be brought up, and maybe we can do things better. But let's not lose sight of what some of the potential issues might be by continuing to call this a fraudulent election, because it wasn't. There's no evidence.
No, it wasn't. All right, Dan Scheer, thank you. Lots of information. Hopefully it was helpful to a lot of folks about the vaccine information from Mr. Huckleberry. We have Weekend Watch coming up. Dan, stay safe. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell with Weekend Watch next on Buckmaster.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Everybody anxious over in Silver City to once again welcome Southern Arizonans over to the Land of Enchantment, just that three-hour drive to Silver City. Best thing to do right now, start your planning at southwestnewmexico.org so you'll be ready when New Mexico is ready to once again open up to out-of-state visitors. Let's welcome the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, and he is ready, and so am I, for a decidedly delicious weekend.
What else is new? I'm always hungry. You know, Milton.
I know you are. What do you got going for us?
Well, let me be the first to wish you and your listeners a happy National Southern Food Day.
What in the world?
And yeah, thankfully, we've got some local options for taking our mouth to the south today. My pick is Ken's Hardwood Barbecue on 22nd Street, Tucson's Hardwood headquarters. They have a menu of southern dishes and sides and sauces that I think are a perfect fit for today. Like their southern fried catfish, they've got some Carolina wings, Alabama white barbecue sauce, collard greens, and to wrap it all up, Sister's sweet potato pie for dessert. I honestly can't imagine a better place to celebrate the soul of the South today than at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue.
Okra and eggplant. Yum, yum. I'm ready.
That's it.
Now, time to put on your cowboy hat and your chaps or whatever. How about a cowboy barbecue?
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of the best-kept secrets in town. It's the Cowboy Cookout at Tankerverde Ranch, which they do every Saturday and even Wednesday evenings down at their Cottonwood Grove. It's an all-you-can-eat spread of mesquite-grilled strips, pulled pork, chili-rubbed chicken,
wow,
of course, burgers, dogs, all the sides, cornbread, cowboy beans, cast-iron mac and cheese. Plus, there's live Western music and fire pits, and the price tag, Bill, is only $39 for adults. Did I mention it's all you can eat? You know, they start trembling when they see me coming down the hill hungry.
Tankerverde Guest Ranch. Had no idea that this cowboy cookout was going on. Learned something new here on Weekend Watch. You know, a lot of people want an egg Benedict breakfast, you know, some kind of a beautiful brunch. Can you help them out?
Yeah, for sure. If you love Benedict, let us know about the Baja Cafe. They have 13 different versions of Benedict, but check this out. The weekend special at the Broadway location takes the Benedict concept to a new level. Check it out. It starts with a smoked demi-glaze, which is then topped with grilled Oaxaca cheese, but 9-ounce chimichurri ribeye steak, house-cured bacon, poached eggs, and a chipotle hollandaise. I think that sounds like my idea for eggs Benedict. You can gobble up that special this weekend at the location of Baja Cafe.
Sounds like a winner to me. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
I got you, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell with our weekend watch. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure all of our podcasts are up in a very timely manner. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer producer Tom Fairbanks and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us together, the same wish. Have a great and a very safe, pleasant weekend.